You are listening to the Bugcast, episode 660.
Podcast is recorded in front of a live chat room audience.
Rather rousing start was Mogu with Monk in the River. We have played Mogu before, but we haven't played that track before. From Russia, after a successful debut with the album Glassberry Heels in 2014, Indie Shamans Mogu are back in a new album. And I'm going to hazard a guess that they've done more since then. They're gorgeous indie and they were semi-finalists of a competition of independent Russian group Studio 7. And you can find out more by checking out facebook.com/Mogu Band, which is M-O-G-U Band.
Excellent. Good starter. As Fat Freddy said in the chat room, wake up music. It's working. Right, welcome one and all. This is the Bugcast episode 660. On tonight's show, we have our usual rather fantastic mix of Creative Commons music. Yeah, Creative Commons music. And we do have a subject for discussion later on,
yes,
which I'm quite looking forward to.
And an update on you.
And an update on me, yes, because I felt a bit of a prick the other day.
Yeah.
More about that a bit later on. This is Ed Napoli with Romantism.
To the Bugcast, part of the Other Side Podcast Network. Don't touch that dial. Wait a minute. I don't have a dial. I've not had a dial in years.
And another track from Russia, that was Igor Budeny with Riddle. We have played Igor before, but again, not that song. He's a Russian singer-writer who has written more than 3,400 songs. 370 songs have been recorded in between 2009 and 2020, and he wants to collaborate. He's got a new album, I Get Dramatic, which was due for release in December 2020. And it will have 17 songs in it, so I'm assuming that's already out. Now, he did have a Facebook link, but that was to his own profile, and I don't like doing it to personal profiles. So he also had a Twitter link, and I've linked to his Twitter.
To his personal profile.
But Twitter's different. Twitter's very public.
I know, we've had this discussion before.
And he does post there about releases and things, so it felt more comfortable.
Fair enough. And before that, you heard Ed Napoli with his track Romantism. Ed is an accomplished singer-songwriter who mixes together energy, power, emotion and melodic, catchy harmonies with strong, wise and universal lyrics. We've played a number of his tracks over the last year. Most recently, we played two of his tracks on the last episode. And this was a brand new track released in the last week. He's from Brazil, and you can find out more over at his website, ednapoli.com. So, a couple of immediate things to acknowledge. The first one is the very sad passing of the Duke of Edinburgh. Prince Philip died today at the age of 99. It's a real shame for many, many reasons. I know that he wasn't necessarily universally appreciated by members of the public, but over his lifetime and over his career, he has achieved a good number of things, not least of which the Duke of Edinburgh Award that he's been sponsoring for decades,
as far as I'm aware. Oh, a long time.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have to mention it. It'd be unfair of us not to. But
and I tell you what, people, he may not be universally liked, but how many people are still in active service to the age of 99? And I mean in active service as in a frontline royal who still did events and public stuff and things like that. I mean,
well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not in the immediate past, but certainly up until sort of the last year or so, he's been active doing stuff. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and his story's quite interesting because I was saying to Cara, if he was the king and he married a princess who became the queen, nobody would bat an eye, he would be in charge and whatnot. But instead, he married somebody who was thrust into the limelight very quickly with the death of her father. Mm. And he literally lost his life. He could no longer serve in the military because his duty was to be the Queen's husband.
Well, that kind of happened before she became Queen as well. I think it was 5 years before she ascended the throne that they got married.
And it seems like he had lots of ideas, but the establishment of the royal family made sure that he knew that he had a place and his place was to do whatever was needed to support the Queen.
Right, which is a shame.
Hmm.
Mm. So, yeah, Prince Philip died at the age of 99 today. In other news, I apologise for my language earlier on. I have had my first jab now of the AstraZeneca vaccine. So Caroline and I are kind of at the same level now in terms of our inoculation status.
Although I'm 3 weeks, well, a good 3 and a bit weeks post, so I've probably got as much immunisation as I can get from that first dose.
Until you get the second one, yes. Yeah. But yeah, like Caroline, I was affected. I think Caroline was affected worse than I was, to be fair. I was pretty much out of action yesterday. Tried to go out for a walk in the afternoon, which was great. Really enjoyed the fresh air, but yeah, it took quite a bit out of me. So
you've done all right though, and you've been a lot brighter today.
I've been fine today because the vaccine was on Wednesday. I was fine for the whole of Wednesday. Recorded a 2.5 hour podcast on Wednesday evening, so that didn't affect me at all. Got virtually no sleep on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Woke up probably every 5 minutes or so, shivering and fever. That's an interesting one on me. But by the morning, by the time it was time to get up, I was like, I'm not going anywhere.
And whilst you were a bit out of it yesterday, you have been active with me as well. We've been off this week. So for me, I have done, for this week, 5 hours and 27 minutes and 54 seconds of moving time, and I've covered 27 and a half miles through either walking or cycling.
Yeah, which is excellent.
And today, I mean, come on, people, bow down for this. I became a local legend.
Yes.
I am the local legend on a segment called All Leeds Are Wee.
Leeds as in the town, the city.
I did not. Well, I don't think it is the town. I think that is somebody misspelling what they meant.
Well, no, it had a capital L as well.
Because there's nothing to do with Leeds in this area. My guess is they were trying to say that you can come from many different exits and entrances to get to that point, but then it all goes downhill from there.
Well, no, precisely, and that fits nicely as well. Think about what the, in this area, what one of the principal rivalries is going to be relating to, and it's going to be football.
But Leeds has nothing to do with this area.
No, it isn't. But
the
Sheffield Wednesday
hill.
Is very strong where we are. So it might just be a general friendly rivalry against Leeds United.
Nah, I reckon that was somebody talking about the downhill. Whee! Whatever it is, I am the local legend.
Right. Huh? Take it. Anywho, more music. This is John Worthy with Don't You Feel It.
I can't change this feeling, babe, like all the times you slipped away. But I won't go, cause I'm in love. But better or worse, I'm holding hope. So tear me down where we can show you I ain't really old man. I swear it's true, the things I do. Well, don't you feel it too? Don't you ever wonder what it is that I believe? Why you're tearing my heart and killing my dreams? I've been loading these thoughts like the kid in me. I'm a fool, I'm afraid of all that I've seen. I can't change this feeling, babe, like all the times you slipped away.
Sikkim Sikkim.
Tadamagush.
Shubenakadi.
Quispamsis.
Pokemush.
Skookamachuk.
Waikagama.
Tabansitak.
Homalko.
Wasutna.
Miramichi.
Mamali and Kuala. Kwikwasutunak.
And these are all clearly places that us Canadians have not stolen.
And that Carolyn likely couldn't pronounce.
And I'm Chris.
This is John.
And you're listening to the Bugcast.
Well, Fatima Medin with All Around from Spain. She is a Spanish composer working in film, media, theatre, dance and major events. She plays piano, guitar and other instruments. She studied in Paris, then in southern Spain, where she was influenced by flamenco and Arabic music. She is a multicultural composer, lives in Barcelona, receiving influences of the Mediterranean. Her work includes quirky radio jingles and music for commercials, all the way through to music for documentaries, television and stage productions.
Wow.
And you can find out more by checking out her Jamendo profile because I couldn't find an online presence.
Nice. Busy.
Mm.
Mm. Awesome stuff. Love the funky style of that one.
Yeah.
And before that, you heard John Worthy with Don't You Feel It. John Worthy, as if Nirvana had a baby with the Lumineers. That upbeat, energetic indie rock track was released only last week. He is from Nashville in Tennessee, and you can find out more over at facebook.com/ John Worthy Music. And because we missed it, let's do the roll call. So let's have a look and see who is listening to us live right now over at thebugcaster.org/live.
So in the chat room, we have got Chris from Canada, Amy Hussey, Lainey. We have also got Bodie. We have got Oz Toonan. There's Yannick was there as well. And I don't think I've missed anybody.
I don't think so. I'm sure somebody will tell us if we have.
Yes.
And there is no one in the IRC that you haven't already mentioned. There you go. Right. Okay. So we have always claimed on this show that as much as we support the artists that we feature on this show, there's always the danger that if they were to become commercially successful, that they could potentially lose the creative control that they have or they enjoy within their music, within their art. Taylor Swift appeared in the news this week because I'm not going to go into the details of the actual of the disagreement of the conflict that's happening at the moment. But in a nutshell, she obviously signed to a label, and that label had, if I understand this correctly, they sold the rights to Taylor Swift's music to another organization, which basically wasn't going to do what Taylor Swift would have liked them to do with it. So effectively profiteering from her art. So what she's been doing and what she started to do is to go back and effectively re-record the music that had previously been under the control of her publishers. As I understand it, the way copyright works in general, I would imagine there are some regional variations to this, is that when you create a piece of art, the copyright exists within that version of it.
Yeah.
If Taylor Swift recorded a song, I don't know, let's say 15, and she recorded that 12, 13 years ago, then whomever owned the rights to that still owns the rights to it now. And in as is always the case in commercial music, that is never the artist. Sucks, but it's true.
Yeah, so just telling you, her master recordings were sold to an American businessman called Scooter Braun, who then sold it on to Shamrock Holdings.
And that was it, Shamrock, yes.
Yeah, it's at that point where she said no.
Right. So what she's done is she has created a near-perfect replica of the first album that she produced called... Was it the album called Fearless or the track? I can't remember. But basically, she started to re-record as faithfully as she can do the material that she has recorded to date. And of course, even if it sounds identical, and she's doing a very good job of that, by the way, if it sounds identical to the recordings that were made 10 plus years ago, it doesn't matter, because that recording or that attempt at recording will be copyrighted to her. Because she owns it. The album was Fearless. Thank you, Lainey.
Would you like a knowledge of who owns Shamrock Holdings? Shamrock Holdings is a private equity firm with one sole investor.
Go on.
Roy E. Disney. So the Disney family.
Wow. So it was sold for money. Sorry, that sounds really daft, but it was sold because of the money.
Yes.
Because Disney would have paid a fortune for it.
And he actually, sorry, Shamrock actually acquired the rights to her first 6 studio albums.
Right.
So she's got a lot of re-releasing to do.
Precisely. And that is something she fully intends to do. But it does raise the question that we have asked before of who owns your art. If somebody is creating music under their own banner, and pretty much everybody we have ever played, with a few notable exceptions, on this show in the last 13 years has been independent. They have owned their own material. That means they can choose to do with it as they wish, including releasing under Creative Commons, which means we can do with it as they wish. Yeah, precisely, as Oz said, it's in the contract.
Yeah. Just a quick shout out to Fat Freddy, he's joined us as well.
Hey, hi Freddy. So basically the whole question about when you create something and you release it and it's commercially successful, you still don't own it. But Taylor Swift is the kind of person who has enough influence and nous in her own right to be able to persuade her followers to only buy the material that she has re-recorded.
Yeah.
She has such a huge following. She could do that. She has that power.
Just to give you a little bit more insight into this, when Scooter Braun's Ithaca Holdings said that they were going to sell off the Big Machine Records label, including her tracks, she did want to purchase it herself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, in essence, reading between the lines here, he shot her down in flames because he knew he'd get more money out of this other venture, this Shamrock Holdings. And she's called him a bully and exploitative, which is probably why she's doing what she's doing, more out of a grievance to how it was done.
Right. But she's always been very vocal about how she and her material have been treated in the past.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, but it wouldn't surprise me if Shamrock Holdings didn't put pressure on Scooter Braun to ensure that she didn't end up buying her own material back, because the moment she gets control of her own material, that is a revenue channel that is now gone.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying that it's a risk on her part because while she's got loyal fans, they may prefer the other versions. But she's in a win-win situation. She's making her point and she may dissuade people from going to them and going directly to her anyway. Mm. Either way, she is exerting her ownership of what she's done.
Right. Yannick just asked a really good question. Didn't she already own the recordings, the right on her interpretation of the songs? No, that's not how it works. She owns the raw material that makes up that song. So if she's credited as the songwriter, she owns the song itself. So the words and the music she owns. But it's the recording of that, the final product, if you like, of the music and the words that is then released under the right of a publisher. They take control of it in order. It's an exchange. You give us the song, we'll make you famous. That's essentially how it goes. But as an artist, she owns everything up to but not including the recording itself. That is why she is now re-recording them, because then she owns the entire thing. And I want to give you a specific example of this, because way back, and in fact, if you give me 2 seconds, I will tell you exactly when it was. This is me doing a live search. So, in 2009, in fact, it might have been earlier than that. It was earlier than that. It was 2008. We played a song by somebody by the name of Clark Datchler. He was famous. Well, still is, to be fair. And he produced a song under the name of Johnny Hates Jazz called Shattered Dreams, arguably their biggest hit. You may not recognise the name, you will almost definitely recognise the song. He wanted to do things with that song. But because he didn't own the rights to the recording, he wasn't able to do so. And that included the ability to allow other people to use the music under his terms.
Yeah.
He didn't own that music. He didn't own that recording, so he was unable to. So what he did, he re-recorded it. So we played on episode, I think it was episode 29 of the podcast back in September 2008. We played his song, his re-recording of Shattered Dreams, the 2007 version of it, on the Bugcast because we were permitted to do so. At the time, he released the track on Mevio's Music Alley, what used to be Pod Show, but they did a music resource as well to allow podcasters to be able to use that music in their shows. But because he re-recorded it under his own steam, he now owns the rights to that recording, and he can choose to do with it whatever he likes. We also played a song by the New Shoes Orchestra. And again, let me see if I can do a live search because I clearly wasn't prepared for this. We played it back on, I think it was 100, no, it wasn't. Yeah, 131. So back in 2010, August, October 2010, we played I Can't Wait, which was New Shoes, as it was at the time, probably biggest hit. But as I understand it, I think it was Valerie Day, her name was, who's the lead singer of New Shoes. They wanted to essentially have the freedom of their own music, but they couldn't do it because they were under contract and the rights to those original recordings were owned by somebody else. So the New Shoes Orchestra, as they became, and obviously the style of the music changed to accommodate it, they became a lot more jazz-centric rather than pop. They did a 20th anniversary edition of the song I Can't Wait in a very acoustic jazz style, which I loved, absolutely loved. And I was really grateful for the opportunity to play this on the show back in 2010. But I actually spoke to Valerie at the time over email just to make sure she was happy with us playing it. She was like, yes, please play it. Tell your friends, play it to everybody. And as far as I'm aware, it is exactly the same situation. They wanted control of their own art. And so I'll say it again. As much as I would love all these artists that we play on a weekly basis to get commercial success and actually earn some big money from what it is they do, at the same time, I really hope they don't. Because the moment they become successful, they will then be starting to hand control of their art to the machine.
Yeah.
All right. Listen to Pink Floyd's Welcome to the Machine from the Dark Side of the Moon, from the Wish You Were Here album. It talks exactly about what the music machine is and how it mistreats artists.
Just to add to it as well, Scooter Braun was dealing with Taylor Swift when she first signed her first record contract, and she was only 15.
Mm.
So that, to me, gives that added element that there's a certain level of naivety when you're a teenager.
Mm. Certainly.
Where you're promised lots of things, you sign a piece of paper, and maybe you don't fully understand the ramifications of what that would be. It seems like there's people that are on either side of the camp. She's insistent that she had been begging for a long time to be able to buy the masters back, and he literally decided to go for the bigger bidder. Others have said that she passed on the deal. I don't know. I kind of guess.
Possibly a combination of the two.
Stiffed, yeah. Oh, she probably passed on a deal where they were trying to extort more money.
Mm. Austin has just said American Idol pretty much owns you if you win. And it's the same in the UK. Simon Cowell is, he kind of owns the, what's it called here? The X Factor.
Psycho.
Yeah, Psycho Music, which is actually a division of Sony, which doesn't really bode well for any kind of freedom because you are then tied into a machine that is then tied into a machine. So if you make it big on The X Factor, Pop Idol, American Idol, whatever the other ones of those are, then you'll be tied into a contract of a certain number of albums or songs or whatever for a particular period of time.
And all sorts.
Yeah.
It happened in other things as well. When I went to university, my final year dissertation, which Dave supported me with,
I own that, by the way.
Voluntarily lost marks on my dissertation because I was annoyed that the university would lay claim to my product that I made because I've done it whilst at university, despite the fact that I had my own computer. It was my time. I didn't use any of their equipment, but it's something they do as standard. And so I stripped out functionality, got a lower score, but retained the right to do stuff with it if ever I decided to, which we never did in the end, but it was the principle of the matter. Because I just did not agree with it.
No, absolutely.
So
just for the sake of completeness, we will put into the show notes all of the links for the songs we've mentioned. The BBC News article that mentions the Taylor Swift songs, they're actually linked within that article. And the John Hates Jazz Clark Dashler and New Shoes. New Shoes and New Shoes Orchestra songs, links to YouTube videos will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Right, beautiful song coming up. This is Anna Niagara with, oh, hang on a second, I've got to get the pronunciation. Prosto Vot Tak.
Я далеко, и ты мне не нужен уже как воздух. Мне достаточно просто знать, что ты есть. Все изменилось, и, видимо, очень серьезно. И моих попыток понять это все давно не счесть. Я зарываюсь снова в тебя глазами и пытаюсь опять полюбить себя в тебе. И эта жизнь наша, она такая родная. Может быть, тот корабль, что возил нас тогда над облаками, уже на дне. Просто вот так проходит любовь. И я плачу, ведь все напрасно. Я помню все дни, как их вернуть, и что дальше теперь неясно. Ты услышишь все тексты и все поймешь, что я не могла раньше озвучить. И, возможно, наверное, ты уйдешь. Чтоб любовь нашу дальше не мучать. Как понять, почему в жизни все так происходит? Я хочу наврождаться, чувствовать и умирать. И чтоб не думать о том, где же мои 17, но чтоб я могла опять тебя узнать. Чтоб дождаться, и ты пришел в мою жизнь и завязал туже, и забрал с собой, открывая мир удивительных лет. Но почему ж так вышло, что ты мне как воздух уже не нужен? И мне достаточно просто знать, что ты есть. Пора. Просто вот так проходит любовь. Я не плачу, ведь все напрасно. Я помню все дни, как их верну. И что дальше теперь неясно. Ты услышишь все тексты и все поймешь, что я не могла раньше озвучить. И, возможно, наверное, ты уйдешь, чтоб любовь нашу дальше не мучать.
Friday nights, 9:30 p.m. UK time at thebookcast.org.
And that was Kingston Blues with Daily Routine from San Fernando in Spain. I didn't intend to do two Russian then two Spanish tracks. It just kind of happened that way. We have played Kingston Blues once before. We played their track Love Junkie back on show 347. That went round a bit. It was founded by Cadiz. So it was founded in Cadiz by Ollie, Jose and Alberto in 2010. The founding members of the band met in the jazz school of the University of Cadiz. They decided to merge their passion for music and particularly reggae, jazz and blues into a unique style influenced by soul, funk, rhythm and blues, rock, ska and others. And because of their various origins, each member of Kingston Blues has brought in their own experiences, ideas, influences and so on. Ollie is the lead singer, bass player and also does percussion as well. And you can find out more by checking out their Jamendo profile, because I couldn't find a website for them. I'm not sure if they're still active, because a lot of their songs on Jamendo were released a while or back.
Fair enough. And before there, you heard Anna Niagara with Prosto Votak, which means just like that. She says, I play and write piano music, lounge pop, jazz, and original songs in Russian. Now, we've already played her tracks Vedvoyam and Tolko Bud Ryodom, and this was another single released in 2020. And there is actually another one, rather different in style, that is lined up for next week's show as well. She's from Kharkov in Ukraine, and you can find out more about her over at facebook.com/ Anna Niagara A. As in the letter A. Not quite sure why it did that way. So, yeah, there you go. So we have one more track to play, which I will be telling you about very shortly. Next week, the Bugcast episode 661 will be broadcast live in the Bugcast chat room at thebugcast.org/live on Friday the 16th of April at 9:30 p.m. UK time. If you want to get in contact with us, you can send us an email. feedback@thebugcast.org is our address. Or, of course, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our username of both of those is TheBugcast. So, last track time, and this is another track from the band Rousing Numbers. We played their song Propast on the last show we did. This would have been another one taken from their debut EP, also called Propast. Now, there is actually one more track to play from that EP, and that may well be opening next week's show, so keep your ears open for that one. You can find out more about Rousing Numbers over at facebook.com/ Rousing Numbers. They're from Czechia. The track we're about to play you is called Nieves Dave, which translates to Don't Give Up. So we shall leave you with Rousing Numbers and their track Nieves Dave, and we shall catch you next week.
See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Budeš to chtít zpátky, zjistíš, že nedá tě. ještě všechny ty tvý hádky naberou ten správnej spát. Mysli na všechny dobrý pátky, tomu se budeš jenom smát. A ukáž světu, že seš zpátky a černá dřeš jejich zrak. Víš, on je vážně krutej, ale tak to je jiný. Prostě to nestávej. No bych ti pěhaj slova, je to tu zase znova. Prostě to nestávej. Teď už víš, že se stane, co má se stát. Srna daně, zůstane pevně stát. Život ti uteče, zůstaneš na všechno sám. Pak možná pochopíš, že se nesmíš dát. Někdy je těžký, na tož pak na noc. Ale tak to je jiný, prostě to nezdávej. Zlavy ti pěhaj slova, je to tu zase znova, prostě to nezdávej. Nezdávej, zas a znova.
Bugcast is streamed live at the Bugcast chat room every Friday at 9:30 p.m. UK time. Join hosts Dave and Caroline along with the other listeners in the live chat room to join in the fun.
Shut up!
You've been listening to a member of the Other Side Podcast Network. Find more about our shows at otherside.network.